Heather, how are you doing?
Hi, how are you doing, Mr. Girl?
Hello, you.
Hey, oh, wow, look how long your hair is.
You are?
Alrighty, where do I live?
Right there.
Here?
No, right
here.
Okay. Oh, no, where is it?
Oh, there we go.
It has the speaker.
I have a name tag and everything.
I know.
It's official stuff. Ever seen this many people at a board meeting? Okay.
Tony, I'm gonna mute you temporarily.
Started a business, ended a business, going back to Walmart. That's how you lose weight, man. I was JD Hunt. Crazy.
Same
as Walmart. With less cheaper. Big Tim?
Hey, go ahead, man. Doing all right.
Adrian,
so, she's online. Yeah, she's got some recovering with some medical stuff.
So we have everybody?
I need a gavel. Okay. I can just bang my name tag on the table.
I was in procurement.
Okay, thank you.
I dealt with Eddie Clark.
This is your,
hi.
Your packet for this evening.
Thank you.
This is the agenda.
Stuff.
Most of this is not, this is the minutes from the last meeting.
I was talking to him.
And the handouts are back here for tonight. Any questions, just holler.
Okay. I might keep us.
And we don't know if Adrian's coming. I didn't.
No, she's going to be online. Yeah.
Please don't. I don't want to. I couldn't handle.
I'm not sure if we can hear this. Adrian and Tony, are you guys able to hear us right now?
You still have your foot thing.
I didn't really.
Yes, I can hear you.
Okay, great. So. Adrian, are you on there as well?
Did you get it?
I'm right here.
Is she there? I couldn't hear it. She is? Okay. It's really quiet.
How does it go?
Yeah.
Or? I've been doing this for 15 years.
Right.
Yeah.
It was
probably 20 years of wearing stiletto high heels.
No.
No.
I never have been. It happened when we moved into our house with all concrete floors. Yeah, and 40,000 feet every day for about 2 weeks.
I don't think
so. Well, I really hope it wins.
She had the surgery.
Worked for her.
To, you know, kind of throw all that back in there. But I have the little Nemo one. I've been using it. I decided I'm going to walk.
We had one of our elementary kids who was on the knee roller.
My office is
Well, I think we're about to start.
Okay.
So we had six folks sign up.
Okay.
There's a list. I think this is it right here.
Oh, perfect. Great.
It's in order of speaking. In other words, the earliest to last.
Okay.
If someone, the sixth person, if some one of the first five doesn't speak, then number six.
Is there a time limit for these guys?
3 minutes.
3 minutes. Thank you. Okay. I'll get on the phone.
No, you keep backing up. As a secretary, I feel like I should do something.
Why don't you? I will manage that.
Nate will be our official timekeeper.
Oh, is that right?
As a secretary treasurer, I feel like it's something I could do. If I'm not taking notes, I can at least be timekeeper.
And then you say, thank you very much.
Timer, 3 minutes.
Hey, somebody just joined the call?
He must have rejoined. Yeah, he was already on there.
Did Devin talk to you about Colin Roll for
about
Colin Roll?
Yeah, I saw that as one of the roll calls here.
Yeah, but in the past it's just been, you know, people who are shown on the list. But we thought that it would probably be a good idea to do a roll call and then she calls the roll.
I was going to do it like we do for Zoom. Everybody's got to say their name.
But then for votes as well.
Yes.
So you're saying she wants to call roll?
Yeah.
So Debbie wants.
So that we're just really clear.
Yeah, sounds great.
Yeah. Sometimes you can't.
Yeah, that sounds good. Sure. I guess I'll just stand up until everybody works in order. Yeah. She was just right. She's behind the pool, right there.
Holy crap.
I know, a lot of people. Does the speaker, did our guests have a mic? I know.
I probably need to bring them up here.
All right, guys, everybody, thank you for coming tonight. We're going to go ahead and call to order right now and go ahead and get things started, okay? Thank you very much. Okay, so first things first, we're going to go ahead and take our roll call. Debbie, would you mind?
Jeff Honeycutt.
I'm here.
Nate Fries.
Present.
Dr. Riley?
Present.
Howard Alsdorf?
Here.
Leslie Post?
Here.
Richard Burrows?
Here.
Powell and Tony Beardsley?
Here.
Adrian Jackson?
Here.
All present.
Okay, thank you, Debbie. We're going to go ahead and stand for the Pledge of Allegiance, please.
Where's the video?
There we go. Okay. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Okay, everyone, thank you for joining us tonight. We're going to start off tonight's agenda with comments from the public. As normal, we have five people that have signed up to speak. Each person will be entitled to 3 minutes. For anything they'd like to address the board with. First on the list, we have Tony Mathers. Is Tony Mathers here? Okay. I don't think we have a mic, so I guess right down here would be great.
Yeah.
Sorry? Oh, there is one? Great.
If there's a mic on the podium.
The microphone there.
Okay. You're good.
All right. Here. Sure.
Yep. Yep.
I wrote this like six different times over the last month. So I chose to come here to speak after last month's meeting with a plea of compassion because I knew it would fall on deaf ears. Compassion, to me, is always the answer. I don't want to fight you or anyone. All the parents and the students want is to work together to build a small, amazing school. And that's it. We need to work together. after all the events of last month, I don't think there's any hope for unity. Not with you. Just wait until everyone finds out about the tour you gave at the elementary school last week. People here have made the mistake in assuming that there are matters up for debate. But that's not the kind of man you are. Your mind is made up, and any effort to change it would only be a waste. You were chosen to be the leader, and you're not one. You don't care for those in your charge, you patronize us, and you only seek to further your own agenda. You are a taker. Takers kiss up and kick down. But we, the students, the parents, and the faculty, are very good at punching up. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Next we have Herb Vogel.
Let me know when you're ready, Herb, and I'll start the timer, okay?
So again, 3 minutes, Herb.
Yeah, I can't keep it as short as Tony. So. I just wanted to correct some comments that have been made over the last couple of years. Last May, the infamous school board meeting, and Danny's out here real quick.
I'm sorry, there's only two copies.
Everybody pretended like sports through the school was a big shock that it was going through the rack, but yet September 2018, it was decided by this board that's how it was going to operate. Statements like sports should go through the rec, well, anybody who's playing high school sports, there is nobody at the rec. Their schools are bound by the AAA. They cannot play outside of their teams. So that's not an option. Pickup games has also been mentioned. Well, that's dangerous. Do you really want your 14 and 15-year-old daughters and sons playing pickup games with adults at the rec? That just doesn't make sense. Comments were made that at lunchtime, kids are clicking for the first time because of athletics. Do you not think that the dancers sit together and the guitar players sit together and the artists sit together? Clicks will always happen when kids or adults have common interest. It's not necessarily a bad thing if you handle it correctly. Another board member said, well, we should go back to being an art school and get rid of sports. Well, if you watched the commencement the other night and you watched the slideshow, 80% of these kids are going on to seek degrees in something other than arts. This is a small charter school. We came here because of people like Mr. Young, Mrs. Dale, Mr. Martin, good teachers, small school atmosphere. But if you try to limit yourself to only an art school, you are not doing these kids the service that they deserve. Before you had sports, there was no wait list for high school. You were losing kids right and left as soon as they hit junior high. That was covered in last May's school board meeting also. Mr. Young did a presentation that sports affects 190 participants at the school. And I just want to quote some of your competitors. Haas Hall, one of the best college preparatory schools in Arkansas. We believe that athletic competition is integral to a well-balanced education. Thayden School, in addition to robust physical education and wellness curriculum, we offer a number of team and individual sports that give students the opportunity to test their athleticism in healthy competitions that build character, school spirit, and a variety of cognitive skills. So I just want to say that athletics benefits kids of all ages. It teaches leadership. It teaches self-discipline, time management. It was brought up that the kids missed an early checkout. Well, basketball is a five-month season from November to February, and there were six hours of early checkout for the entire season. Mr. Skelton pointed out that because of COVID, it was A-B-A-B. So yes, that happens to be in the same class, but in a normal season, that means that kid is missing 3 hours of any single class over a 5 to 6 month period. Just be careful what you say, right? Stop quoting things, because then it gets quoted again and again for 2 years. Right. So that's all I have.
Okay, next we have Kenneth Parks.
I'll follow your reading.
Okay.
Sorry to keep it in my time.
Sure thing.
Thank you. Good evening. I'm a parent of two Arkansas
Arts Academy students. I'm a volunteer. My formal name is the Reverend Dr. Kenneth T. Parks, Ph.D., Masters of Divinity. For 33 years, I've been an ordained Episcopal priest and served the board on the Board of Trustees at the University of the South in Suwannee. But before I was ordained for 13 years, I was the scenic designer, technical director of the speech and theater department at Arkansas State University. My PhD dissertation studied the fine arts colleges and universities in America. There are three universal characteristics of those schools. Number one, the students who come to them have already participated in their art form. They know the language. They know in varying degrees a direction. And they know how to function as a team. They know how to work together. Number two, they are above average in intelligence. They could complete any degree program. And number three, they participated in an athletic program at some point in their life. Many of those students are on athletic scholarships at their university. All art includes teamwork. It's a rare Lone Ranger that is successful and representative of being an art. Every choir director could speak about the individual in the choir that constantly oversees everybody all the time. The Lone Ranger is not an artist. I sincerely believe that you cannot artificially separate art from academics, from athletics. They form a natural bond that should not be broken or even neglected. Both of my great nieces were first team All-Georgia soccer team. They attended college, received their Actors Guild credentials. They have been in pilot TV series, commercials. One of them wrote an Exercise Guild book for actresses and models. Her sister joined the writing team for Judge Judy, and you thought that that was spontaneous. She wrote and starred in an episode of Room 101 and is currently a part of a movie script writing team. The fourth characteristic I discovered through the graceful work of Principal Matt Young. Matt literally saved our family. He literally saved our grandchildren, my legal children's lives. He tirelessly and patiently directed us to the right people that took them out of unsafe conditions, provided accurate diagnosis, and provided them now with a new direction in life. Many, many families have benefited from his compassion, his patience, and his direction in this community. He is beloved. But he earned that. A fourth characteristic is the alphabet student, as I call them, in public schools. They're identified by their condition of ADHD, PTSD, anxiety syndrome, and etc. But here they are not mocked.
Can I stop you for 1 second? Board, we're past time with Reverend Parks. Are you guys okay letting him finish his thought?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Thank you. No, it's okay. I just want to make sure that we were.
The last piece is that here they are diamonds, they're identified by the team or their art, they're not picked on. I know that. Finally, thank you for 1 minute more. The most controversial musical post-World War II musical was what? Well, it was South Pacific. And that signature song was You Have to Be Carefully Taught. We need artists today. Go home, Google it, look at the words, and you'll understand why we have an Arkansas Arts Academy. Thank you.
Thank you, Reverend Parks. Next, we have Lainey Adams.
I am privileged to speak on behalf of my colleagues at the K-6 campus where I teach fourth grade, as well as our parent community, as I have a kindergartner and third grader at our school. I'm here to speak about the morale and culture of our wonderful little campus on 12th Street. Our school has a history of a tumultuous past, frequent leadership changes, staff retention and recruiting problems, and a stagnant student population size. There were constant leadership changes. Until about 5 years ago, when Matt Young brought his experience, lively spirit, and leadership to the K-6 campus, the elementary building had not maintained the same principal for more than a three-year stretch, and most of the administrators only served 1 to 2 years before leaving the school. There was fear and uncertainty amongst the staff. Over the course of the past 5 years, under the leadership of Matt Young, the K-6 campus has flourished. Teacher retention and recruitment has improved, families are clamoring to get their students into our school, and the overall reputation of Arkansas Arts Academy has made it one of the top-notch schools in the area. Mr. Young, along with the leadership of Mr. Skelton, who joined our staff 4 years ago, has made this a great place to work and a great place for kids to learn. As leaders, they support us both professionally and personally. They recognize that we have our own families, but that together we're a part of the Arkansas Arts Academy family. They encourage us to be our best selves professionally and serve our students with fidelity while still taking care of our own personal needs and well-being. These two men are the type of strong leaders who aren't afraid to support and grow their people. They aren't threatened by the success of others, but encourage those around them to thrive. Yet when we falter, as we inevitably do so together. And when we grow and improve, Mr. Young and Mr. Skelton are the last people to take that credit. They're the type of leaders that always put others first. They would be the first to tell you that the teachers, students, and parents are what make this school great. That kind of selflessness and servant leadership is difficult to find, and I would argue, impossible to teach. Few leaders can hold a candle to the charismatic leadership of Mr. Young and the gentle wisdom of Mr. Skelton. Yet recently, the stability, consistency, and trust that have been built on the K-6 campus has begun to topple. Certainly, we've operated in crisis mode for parts of the past year due to the unprecedented pandemic. Mr. Young, Mr. Skelton, and Nurse Katie have guided us through this difficult year with great poise and strength. Despite their leadership, there's been a sense of fear, control, and trepidation that's permeated our halls. Lack of communication and transparency seem to have become the norm from the district. Many staff have noted that on a number of occasions, we have learned of important school announcements and changes as parents before being informed as staff. Instead of being included in decision making and communicated with directly, we're sometimes the last to find out. Recently, leaders of another local charter school whose online growth plan includes the acquisition of a lower and upper level Rogers Bentonville school was given a tour of our school without any of our building leadership present. As you can imagine, the lack of communication and transparency we've been experiencing, coupled with the questions raised by the presence of these unexpected visitors, has led staff to no good conclusions. I could provide further examples, but I know I'm out of time. One last word. We as a staff do not feel that we're being engaged as key stakeholders in the direction of our school. Parents and staff alike seek more transparency and communication and want to be included in fulfilling the vision and mission of our school. We want our voices to be heard. Thank you.
Thank you, Lainey. Next, we have Andy Schuster.
I am here to speak on behalf of my son, Thomas Schuster, and the advantages Arkansas Arts Academy has given him. He wasn't succeeding in a large public school setting. The small class sizes have given him the freedom to express himself. whether it be Mrs. Price's art class and all the other music classes that have given him opportunities to strengthen his fine motor skills. Although I am an educator, tonight I speak to you as a parent. I worked and have worked under many administrators and don't envy their positions. In fact, that's probably why I'm still a teacher today. I speak tonight in support of one such administrator from a parent's point of view. This administrator, Mr. Young, supports arts education, academic growth, and emotional growth. Mr. Young sees value in each student's strengths and attempts to strengthen their weaknesses to give them the best start in life that he can. 2 years ago, there was a tremendous differential in our son's test scores between reading and math. Mr. Young analyzed the data at the elementary level and quickly assigned teachers to work strategically with small groups in reading and math intervention. Our son was able to catch up in these small ratios of teacher to student groups and improve in math to close his gaps. This past school year, Tommy, he was diagnosed with ADHD, thus requiring a 504 plan. Mr. Young sat down with us early on in the school year and explained what could be done to help our son inside the classroom and in state testing settings. We understood what 504 plans are, but didn't fully understand the steps required to get one. A team was put together at Mr. Young's guidance, and soon our son was being tested in multiple areas, to which resulted in testing accommodations that are now to his benefit. On the multiple occasions that I've been to Arkansas Arts Academy through various events, school personnel has welcomed me and my family with smiling faces and receptive attitudes. A positive school climate begins at the top with its administration and gets filtered down to teachers, students, and families. Because of its small size, Arkansas Arts Academy is able to get to know its families on a personal basis and make strong connections throughout the students' lives while attending Arkansas Arts Academy. One can tell instantly when they walk into any school building whether the culture is welcoming or closed off. Mr. Young is a big part of why families start and stay at Arkansas Arts Academy, because of that climate that he has created. Tommy's story is not an exception at this school, but we think an example of the majority of the students whose parents choose to send their kids to Arkansas Arts Academy. Thank you very much for taking your time tonight to listen to me.
Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Schuster. Next up, I apologize for the pronunciation. We have Tawfiq Abuhamdan. Did I say that right?
Yes.
Close? All right.
Unfortunately, I didn't prepare anything. I just wanted to share a couple of comments. I have three children at Arkansas Arts Academy. Two of them are currently at the elementary campus and one at the high school campus, all of which have started in kindergarten. After the second year, when my oldest Jude was currently seventh grader, after her second year, we almost pulled her out of the school. There was a change in leadership, and that's when Mr. Young came and took over the elementary campus. And we basically sat down and talked and said, we're going to give it 1 year and see what happens. And the way that Mr. Young had turned around the school is unbelievable. The addition of the focus of athletics, in addition to the focus on art, is what makes my kids well-rounded in everything. All three of my daughters are dancers, gymnasts, basketball players, archers. They are able to do all that at Arkansas Arts Academy. There is nowhere else in this state that offers them that. And that's what makes them the tough girls that they are today. I'm going to put that aside. I'm going to move towards talking about Mr. Young. Mr. Young, the way that he turned around the school is just, I mean, you've heard a lot of people talk about it. I'm not going to go into a lot of details. This man knows every student on his campus by name, greets them by name. Knows the parents by name. I have, Mr. Burroughs joined the school last year. First time I've seen you. Never heard anything from you. Have not seen a single email direct talking to the parents about a pandemic that we're going through, what the school's trying to do. None of that came directly from you. Because of the involvement of my kids in all the activities, I'm here for dance recitals, band, basketball games. Never seen you present in any one of those. To me, as if you don't care about what goes on in the school. The other thing I want to address about is some major decisions that have been put on the board's agenda the last month before a change in the board. There are two board members that have lost their seat on this board, and I believe should not vote on some major decisions that are being made in today's board meeting. Thank you.
Okay, thank you, Tafiq. That concludes our comments from the public. Moving on to the next item on our agenda would be approving our minutes from our May meeting and special meeting, of which are attached. So board, I guess I'll take a second to review that. Do we not have them?
You're the only one that has them.
Oh, I'm the only one that has them. Oh, well, that's great.
It was sent out as an email last week.
Yeah. Got it. So did everybody have a chance to review an email? Any questions, any objections? If not, can I have a motion to approve those minutes?
Second.
Okay. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Any opposed?
Aye.
Sorry?
You're good.
You good? Okay. Let's see. May financials, attachment number two. Nate, can you care to comment on the activity from the finance committee this?
We didn't have a meeting.
Right.
We didn't have. Yeah, so we everything looks about the same as it was. Everything's looking good. Financials are good. We're looking to end the year with over $500,000 left in the bank, which is a good position for us to be in. We will resume our regular scheduled monthly finance meeting in July.
Okay.
All good.
Thank you. Next, we have the enrollment report, which I'm not sure where that's at or who's presenting on that.
That's me.
That's you.
All right,
there we go.
The enrollment report is status quo. It remains the same. We still have commitments for 1,210 families that are here in August. The waiting list is growing, as you can see, by the attachment that I put in the packet. So we're in really good shape.
Thank you. Next, we're going to on to district reports. First up, we have leadership with Mr. Burroughs.
Thanks. I'll keep this brief. Obviously, for parents, teachers, and the community, graduation, testing, the arts festivals at the elementary and high school, and other end-of-the-year programs have been the focus of this month. I'd like to sort of specially shout out to Rachel Carpenter for her excellent organization of the graduation ceremony. So thank you, Rachel, so much for that. And to Aaron Jones and his team for the arts festivals that were presented at both, and Rachel again. She is the Excel spreadsheet queen for all the performances that were done. I was really grateful to be able to catch as many as possible. We did transition the Suburban, which only would seat about 8 people, to a new 15-seat activity bus that has arrived. It's being decaled and prepped and serviced, and so the great thing about the 14, it's actually a 14-seater, there's a driver in 14 seats, is that any teacher can drive this particular bus without a special license. So it means when it's time to take students to a special activity, you can drive it as long as you're an employee of the district. We have some summer arts activities that we've entitled Art School that have a range of dance, music, theater, and visual arts instruction for kindergarten through 12th grade. And you'll see some of that information a little bit later. Beth Scott, who had a family emergency just recently, won't be able to make a presentation today. Is that correct?
I'm doing it for
you. Okay, so you're doing it. She and her team have put together a draft operational plan for special education that
has been developed and proposed positions that will need to be sourced, but I think we're in a good position. And we're just waiting in moments from the state for finally getting out of our corrective action plan for the last year. We've accomplished and succeeded in meeting all the needs for the state, so our special education corrective action plan is just about over. A survey to parents, teachers, administrators, and community members will be sent soon through Need to Know. That's the way that I communicate with folks, so when you see Need to Know, that's actually coming from our offices. Regarding input for the third wave of, it's called the American Relief Plan, the Emergency Elementary and Secondary Education Act. The very first year we had about $180,000. This year we have about $360,000, this coming school year, $360,000. But what's really a big input for parents and community members and teachers is that ESSER III, as they call it, is $831,311.90. And so we're sending out this survey to you to inquire of you what you think should be the priorities for the expenditure of those funds, given the guidelines that the state and the federal government have rolled. Look for that. Victor will help us put that together, and I hope that you'll take the time to fill out that survey, which will help us guide our thinking in terms of that substantial amount of money. The important thing about those funds are that they are one time, so we don't want to put ourselves in a situation where we obligate ourselves to something that we have to pay many years after, but really focus on the things that we need to, lost learning through the COVID periods, facilities upgrades, any number of other activities, and you'll see that in the survey. So thank you, Jack.
Thank you. Next I have child nutrition and cycle reports with Debbie.
Yes, thank you. My report's not quite as exciting. The cycle 7 is in process. Those of you that are not familiar with cycle reporting, there are 9 times a year that we submit reports to the state. They go through every aspect of our data. This month, we are in really good shape. I'm waiting for semester grades to be entered so I can work on the second half of that report. So we are in good shape with that. I'm also working on the funding data reporting that is due to the Arkansas Department of Education on June 15th. I've been pulling data, just lots of different reports for that one. It looks at the home districts of our students, how many students we have in each of the surrounding districts, what their poverty level is, and what their stud accommodations are as well. And it also asks our projected enrollment for next year. The third aspect is child nutrition, the renewal packet. I'm working on that contract with the state as well. It goes through our provider, Aramark, and details that. I've signed up for the Child Nutrition Directors Conference at the end of the month. Plans are being finalized for our summer feeding program, so if you'd like to spread the word, like we did at spring break, we'll be offering meals to anybody in the community, age birth to 8. So they can come and pick up meals once a week. That includes 7 breakfasts and lunch. And that's also available to our students as well. Sorry. I'm excited to share with the board that my year-end budget balance for child nutrition will be approximately $30,000. That's an improvement over any of the past few years. So that's gone really well. And closing out the month, I will be submitting our facilities inspection reports to the state. I'm waiting for some independent contractors or outside contractors to see and finish their inspections of our fire equipment, fire extinguishers, kitchens, and such. And all those reports go to the state, and that's how we get our facility money that's distributed throughout the year. Are there any questions?
No,
thank you.
Thanks, Debbie. Next up, health and wellness with Katie Milligan.
Yeah. So our district has fewer than 5 and 14 and 0 population. We had 8 cases of COVID-19 in the 2020-2021 school year. Right now, 75% of our staff are fully vaccinated, and today we completed a second shot clinic where around 75 students received their second dose of the Pfizer COVID vaccine and another 10 received their...
I'm sorry, can you give me that percentage of staff one more time? I'm sorry.
75%.
Thank you.
I'm hopeful that as cases continue to drop, that we're able to begin the 2021-2022 school year in a better position than when we started this school year. I really want to express my gratitude to our staff and our principals for all of the extra work that went into this year. I am not a teacher, but I have listened to our teachers and know that this year was made especially difficult because of the guidelines that they worked diligently to follow to keep our kids safe and keep themselves safe and healthy. And I'm proud to work on
the team. Okay. Thank you, Katie. Next up, elementary school report with Mr. Young.
Yes, the art festival at K-6 went very well. It was amazing to see the talent of our students. I think some of our art teachers are here. If you're an art teacher, come on, wavy. Just so keep that. Fun and Field Day is underway. The creative shirt, the PE team, I'm 6 feet away. Yeah, they didn't tell me what that was, but that's okay. We have day two tomorrow. A special thanks to Andy Custard and the Rogers Fire Department for helping that be a very special event. Sixth grade graduation is this Thursday evening at 7 at the beautiful outdoor stage, K-6 campus. And kindergarten graduation is going to happen not once, not twice, not three, not four, but five times on Friday, the last day of school. So that will be a very special time. And then Miss Albright, this is the sixth grade yearbook class. Miss Albright did not start the year with us, but she came in and embrace the yearbook, which a lot of people don't embrace the yearbook. So, her and the physicist create a masterpiece, so we look forward to you hearing about that. And then looking towards the future, we have 572 students ready for school next year. 13 of these students will be virtual, and we have a waiting list for all grades. Do you have any questions?
Any questions? No, thank you.
Can we acknowledge one more? I see some people that graduated at the top there. You can see them. Oh, get back up and we'll get up then. Get up, Riley. I know. I'm not tired of hearing me boss yet. I would like all of our other students to stand up. All our other diamonds, stay low. So, I just want us all to remember that's why we're here. That's the focus. So, thank you for blessing us.
Thank you, Mr. Young. Next up, we have a student council report with Mr. Aguilar.
He graduated and is about 10 days away from going to the Air Force, so there will be no more Mr. Diego.
Aww. Okay. Yay!
Yes, because she's on the
Okay, next up, we have arts integration with Mr. Jones. Oh, I'm sorry. Oh, I just skipped right over Heather. I'm sorry. Heather, high school report. My fault.
It's okay. It's a hard act to follow. all right. We wrapped up graduation last Friday. Had 83 students graduate with this year's graduating class, and we're currently completing final projects for all other students on campus. We'll be finishing this school year with awards and end-of-year field day at Lake Atalanta. So a lot of fun to finish what has been a very interesting year. Our course requests have been submitted, and we're currently in the process of building the schedule for the 2021-2020 school year and building student schedules from the master. I want to thank everyone who's been out to support our students at one of the many, many performances that has occurred in the past month. I'm pretty sure I just lived here. And we hope to see you at those performances next year. The event calendar is already taking shape, so you can start scrolling through the public calendar to figure out when things are happening and make plans to be here. And then finally, I would like to announce our Teacher of the Year for 2021. So this comes from the Teachers of the Month that were nominated and selected each month and then voted on by the wider community from that very narrow pool. He's a first-year teacher and has managed to create two wonderful and hilarious theater performances in the middle of the pandemic and keep those kids acting and active. So Jordan Haynes is our Teacher of the Year.
Excellent job at graduation. That's just a comment. Yeah. It was
very well
run. Festivals. Thank you.
Yeah, very well run. Both of you guys. Good job. Okay. Now we'll move to arts integration with Mr. Jones.
Yay! So let me start with partnerships. So during this crazy pandemic, and I know we are ready for a new year, it sounds like we are having museums that are open. We have nine different partners that we have with museums throughout the region. So our programs, our events, hopefully are going to be coming back. We've missed this entire year, especially a night at the museum, things that we did with Crystal Bridges, not being able to perform, not being able to have our core teachers to have those kids in the galleries to talk about making those connections. That's all going to come back. So I know we're very, very excited about that. And thank you to teachers represented from kindergarten through 12th grade working with us as a team to meet with these directors. In fact, we just got off of Zoom with Tiffany Harris, who is the new school programs director. And so we had a wonderful group of teachers who let her know how proud we are of our programs. We don't want to see those disappear. So thank you so much for that. Tomorrow, 7th grade is going to Little Rock. So, Ms. Colbrath, I tell you, I love working with this woman. She is taking these kids all the way to Little Rock because they have been reading The Warriors Don't Cry, autobiographical account of Melba Petillo Beale, civil rights movement leader, one of the Little Rock Nine. So we will be spending the entire day there and coming back. So if you have a seventh grader, be here at 7 to pick them up, please. See ya. All right. Along with this, the seventh grade, Ms. Kerr's class recently has been doing and learning about, let me back up. We had a PD for our teachers, and so we ended up using relief printing. And from that, Ms. Kerr came up with this concept of wanting to bring awareness, maybe protest, maybe a couple of different things. We used printmaking for in her classroom. So they ended up writing the slogan, thinking of a cause, researching that cause, coming up with those words, and then using relief printing to then share that messages. I've got a few here, they'll come up pretty soon. I know it's a far away, but these are some pretty amazing works from 7th grade. We have some very, very good stuff. So now we have to do math and art, of course. Peanut butter and jelly, are you kidding me? That's just how they go. I am so happy to work with Mr. James Hobbs Taylor because he came up with this brilliant idea. He said, Mr. Jones, I have a fantastic concept and idea that I think we can just kind of replicate all over. You remember transformations? You remember talking about translation, reflection, and all these? So you need to go back. I did. He helped me, and we combined it. So another quick little kind of reference and call out to him with all of these kiddos of things that they're doing of integrating to make these really kind of strong connections between our core curriculum and our fine arts. And then Mr. Singleton, I can't leave out Mr. Singleton. His classes have been working with his singer-songwriter class. Typically, we go to Crystal Bridges to go see the works in person. So we've been doing this virtually, that the students will then look at an artwork, do some research, and then compose an original work themselves. So this is a song, not only the lyrics, but the melody, everything that they kind of compose of taking that research from a visual work of art. And they are turning out phenomenal. I'm sure he'll be making videos along with them, so look for those probably this summer sometime. Thank you. Any questions?
No questions.
That's all I got.
Thank you, Mr. Jones.
Thank you.
Next up, a special education report with Mrs. Scott.
Hi,
I'm standing in for Ms. Scott for this. The special education team has been very busy the past 2 months with annual reviews of student progress and making programming recommendations and plans for the 21-22 school year. The majority of our special education placement students are back on campus, with the exception of 3 resource students out of 24 and 6 speech language students out of 33 at the elementary. We are still missing 8 special education students out of 73 at the secondary level. I'm super excited for the learning that will get to take place when we are all back together in the fall. The special education budget is complete and turned in successfully to the state with the guidance of Bonnie, who is our financial advisor. I don't normally do numbers, but she was able to provide excellent support during this process. Thanks, Bonnie. Sheila completed Cycle 7 reporting, which looked at the data information at eSchool for special education programs. We had 4 errors that were corrected regarding exit dates from last year's students. Sheila has been working diligently on eSchool data information, and things are looking much improved. All components of the corrective action plan have been submitted. I spoke with the monitoring representative, and she said documents were looking good. I'm just waiting on the final correspondence to see the outcome. Excited to move forward with the special education team in maintaining accurate records for our students so that our next monitoring will be a smooth process. And a shout out to Sheila, because she did an excellent job. 4 errors on a cycle 7 is excellent. So if you get to her, please give her a pat on the back. And that's all.
Thank you, Debbie. Next item I have here is Medicaid RIF, which shows no report. Is that correct?
Correct.
Okay. So we will go to Human Resources with Terry.
Hey, good morning, everybody. Or good evening, not morning. Hey, just to let you know what's going on in HR, we've got all the employee agreements out. We've got about 82% of those back signed. So we still have a few that are out. We've also got 11 positions posted, job postings. Just to go over those, we have a high school secretary position, and we've gotten 5 applicants in on that. We've got an adjunct digital art position. No applicants have yet for that position. We've got an 8th grade algebra position. We've got 4 applications in on that. We have an adjunct fashion costume design position. We've gotten 2 applicants. We've posted a 7 through 12 high school teacher, which is arts/academic. We've gotten 12 applicants on that. We've got a K through 6 teacher position, arts/academic. We've gotten 13 apps on that position. We've posted a dean of students position, and we've gotten 5 applications on that. We have 2 social worker positions posted, and we've gotten 2 apps on that. We've also posted learning guides. We've gotten 4 applications. We've posted a special ed teacher, a special ed teacher position. We've got 5 applications on that. We've also posted a bus driver full-time and a part-time position. We had 3 applications on that position, and we have successfully filled our bus driver positions. So we're really excited that we've gotten a lot of applications in on all these positions, and look forward to interviewing. Principals should start their interviewing processes on a lot of these positions and start getting them filled. Besides that, in the Human Resource Department, we're with Bonnie's help with APSRC, we're running 4 payrolls this week. We've successfully done 1. We've got going to run another tomorrow, and then we'll run another one on Thursday, and then finish up on Friday to get everybody's payroll through July the 30th. So other than that, benefits is going good, and that's what's going on in Human Resource.
Okay, thank you, Terry. I do have 1 question, really quick. Of the 11 job postings that you listed, do you know how many of those are new postings, meaning maybe new positions to the district?
The dean of students would be a new position. Our social worker would be a new position. Then I believe our learning guide. And everything else is just
third one. You cut out. What was the third one?
I'm sorry, yeah. Learning guides.
Thank you.
Everything else are positions that are being, they're not new positions. We're just filling them.
And there were two learning guides. Is that correct?
We have on our learning guides, we have four applications.
No, I mean, how many openings?
I believe, I'm not really sure. I think we're going to try, Rich can answer that. I believe there might be four.
Okay.
Yeah, it's a 4 to 6. These are either teachers who currently work in our in the Arts Academy or outside people who are qualified to assist in learning loss for after school tutoring and coaching for perhaps intersession and break coaching, and also to work in assistance during the school day for those kids who need it. So rather than call them tutors or coaches, which seems like it's a top-down kind of experience, we titled the positions learning guides because they really are the best with parents and with students to help them succeed.
Okay, thank you. Leslie, have you the other question?
I have a question, but I have a question before that.
Go ahead.
A follow-up to what you were talking about. Is that going to be available at both campuses?
Oh, yeah.
And will it be available to all students, or do they have to qualify somehow?
Well, I think we're going to have to work with Matt and Heather to make sure that we're reaching the students who need the assistance the most, and then sort of expand based upon the number of folks that we have who can provide the service. So
the principals will be deciding,
yeah,
who gets the services.
Absolutely.
And then the other question was the new dean of students position. I'm assuming, and this may be a better, you may not be able to answer this. It may need to go to Mr. Burroughs or to Ms. Wright. Is that at the high school?
No, it's K-12.
Dean of students is going to be K-12.
It's actually dean of support services. So it's professional development, assessment, to try and take the whole testing piece off Heather's plate, because she's been such a good citizen for that work in the recent times. So it's really to assist with the direct instructional support and student achievement at the school site. And it's paid from ESSER. It's not from the operating budget.
Any other questions?
Yes.
Go ahead, Howard.
Richard, do we know what the impact of the budget for next year for those new positions?
Zero. There's 360-ish thousand.
Okay.
A good portion of it you've already seen in the schools, which is Victor's good work of about 134,000 improved technology in elementary classrooms, and also here at the high school. So that was an important piece of upgrading what goes on in the classrooms. And then plus the 134,000 is a series of positions to support student teaching.
Is that ongoing? Next
it'll go until 2024. So we're in a good position to try and figure out if it does the work and can then disappear, or if we need to find funding to increase. So part of that is really a challenge to have a conversation with the state about raising our enrollment cap, because we're just about at 1,200 students. And the only way we can get bigger and better is if we have more seats for more students. And more seats and more students means that there's a budget that can support the baseline of what's going on. That's a much longer conversation. And that, because we have a plan for going through a conversation with administrators and staff all next school year, which I've discussed with them. I've met with every faculty member and every grade level team and every department at the high school, having conversations about how we can build that expectation for the school district. So, I met with all.
Okay, so my only comment there is we'll probably to track those positions when we get to 2024, when that funding goes away.
Sure.
Yeah, good point.
Absolutely.
And then the other thing, Rich, just as a point of order, I think the board is supposed to approve any new positions added to staff.
That was a question I had as well.
They were in the budget last year.
They were in the budget, and that's what the board approved.
So they weren't presented.
Yes, they were. I'm sorry. Yes, they were.
I believe they were as well.
Yeah, okay. Happy to share them again.
Thank you for the clarification. I just didn't know they were brand new this year.
Next, that's a coming story.
Any other questions? If not, we'll move on to our next item, which is athletics with Mr. Skelton.
Well, good evening. Very short report. We are gathering information for our work session that we now coming up. And if we can decide on a date, well, then we can share information that we have. I would ask that if you have a question, or a particular question that you would like to have an answer for or documentation for, just shoot me an email, and then I can send it back through Mr. Burroughs back to you. So.
Yeah, one comment on that from the board. I know there are two or three of us, I believe, that are going to be involved in that, and I think we're looking like early July is when we're going to be able to put that together. So. Yeah, confident we're going to get a date.
I think Cancun for a honeymoon.
Only on the couch.
I heard from a few people on the day. It will be the 7th or 8th, and we're confirming that. So it's in progress.
If you'd like to go. If you'd like to go.
So I just asked Jeff if this was appropriate, but since David brought up, and everyone is here this time, we're going to have a work session with the board and Mr. Skelton, and I assume Matt is going to be there, to come up with a concrete black and white athletics policy, because one of the issues that has occurred is that many things are happening and no one is quite sure what they are, and there are no clear policies at this point regarding athletics. There's a lot of opinions. And so the goal of the session is going to be to have clear guidelines, clear policies, so there is no gray area and everyone knows what we're doing and we're all on the same page with the goal of going forward with athletics programs. So hopefully by the August board meeting, when school starts again, that policy will exist, we will approve it, and we can kind of put this drama to bed. Okay?
Copyrightly, the question you've already emailed to me, I think you brought up that for them, and that's a good starting point for us to start our work session.
Thank you.
Okay. Thank you, guys. See, that concludes the district reports. Next, we'll be moving on to new business, the first item being the COVID mask protocol, which I believe Mr. Burroughs has some information for us.
Well, so I'll start there. Some of you probably saw this sent out through Need to Know. Apologies to Katie. We had long conversations about how to move into the next school year, since we're looking at a much improved mask situation. I think we only have 108 cases in Benton County at this point. We didn't even make the list for high enough to be even called out. So this is all good news. And given the vaccination pieces, that's great. So I thought we were in some agreement, and then this went out. And who was it that said the high school students were throwing their masks in the air going, yippee, it's over. And I do want it to be over for them, because it's just been such a piece. So the actual protocol, which the board will need to approve, is the school and district protocol is that wearing of masks would be voluntary, so that if you decide not to, you don't have to. If you decide that you want to continue to wear masks, that should be supported by all of your educational community, so no one gets dinged for continuing to wear a mask, because you don't know if they have family members who are immune compromised or even if you are a teacher who is immune compromised and want to have that additional protection. We'll continue to perform the additional and comprehensive sanitation practices, and I think temperature checks only if we think it's necessary, indicated?
Only if they come to the health office.
Okay, and only if they're really obviously not well. And we just continue to say that anyone who is ill should just go home and return when they're recovered. For visitor protocol, which is not something we can handle so particularly well because these are not people that we know, some people who come in as visitors will continue to wear a mask and some will not. But as a matter of privacy, no one in the school district will ask if they've been vaccinated because that's just a privacy issue and not for us to invade for them. And that will not be allowed to ask that question and no exceptions. So with that said, if you're a visitor who comes to the district or to a school site for a small group or an individual meeting or for a conference, we encourage that if you'd like to have that extra measure of confidence or protection in your immediate surrounding, that all you have to do is ask those folks that you're meeting with, will you please put a mask on? And we should all of us be willing to do that in order to meet their expectations and needs. So that's fairly much the proposal moving forward. It would be great if we could have this policy in place before we do our summer programs. I think the theater teacher said it would be so great if we could actually talk and speak theater experiences and a play without talking through a mask. So that's the proposal before the board at this particular moment.
Is there a proposal as far as the effective date?
Well, I think we had made a commitment to finish throughout the school year, so this is just a few days away. And so pretty much once the school year has completed, if we can have the policy start before the summer activities program, that would be really great. Otherwise, we could wait until August 4th for the opening of school.
And what is the first day of the summer activities program?
June 14th.
Okay, so do we need to quickly,
if we do that,
craft a resolution that the masking policy as emailed will go into effect?
If this is the masking policy,
right,
you think is appropriate, you could simply make a motion and it could go forward,
okay,
on June 14th.
Are there any
copies of what the proposed policy is?
Yeah, it should be. Am I the only one that has it here?
Yeah.
It was in your packet.
It was in the packet.
Yeah,
I saw
it
when that came out, but I didn't see it.
I believe it's online as well.
Yeah.
That's where I saw it. I didn't know if it was the same thing.
Victor added to it that pending board approval.
Yeah.
Okay. I would just want to ask, too, is this what Katie is proposing? If you're comfortable answering that.
I think we need to make sure that we know legally what we can do, because I know that there was a bill passed in April, but I know there was a question as to when it actually became effective, because I had heard 90 days from when legislation recessed, but then I heard that it was also effective the end of the school year. It was April, it was May, but I don't know when it's effective. When I read the bill, it doesn't. So I want to make sure that we're following legally what we should. But also my concern about it is simply asking legal math is asking all staff to comply with that without discussing that with them. And if they have been vaccinated based on CDC guidance, they don't have to wear a mask. And I don't want them in an office position being asked by a visitor, will you please put a mask on, and they're placed in a position to say, well, I am vaccinated, when they shouldn't really have to disclose that.
Well, I did say in the policy that it wasn't large group experiences or classrooms. It was if you're coming for an individual or small group conference and you're compromised, to ask our employees to wear a mask if that's something that's important.
Sure. But I still think it places that teacher in that same position. It's a survival for meeting and IEP.
Yeah, I would agree. I think in most of the policy that I've seen, and Kara, I'd be interested in your opinion as well, but most of the policy that I've seen, it hasn't addressed that element as far as what to do when someone asks you. I think it's more of a common courtesy. You know, if someone asks you, we keep a mask and we put it on. I'm not sure that it necessarily needs to be included in a policy, but what are your thoughts?
I mean, you know, I think that at some point we have to trust science and follow the CDC guidelines. Where it gets tricky is finding that intersection between privacy and CDC guidelines. You know, I think one thing you could do is differentiate between regular school day activities and special meetings. Mm-hmm. And, you know, if we want to say going June 14th, we're no longer going to require people to mask, they can choose. You know, during regular school activities, we're not going to require it. If a small group activity is occurring that's not a regular school activity, and someone who is specifically immunocompromised as a transplant recipient, that kind of thing, requests masking, I think it's appropriate for us to do that as kind humans, you know. So.
Do we have any idea what the other schools are doing?
I don't. Anybody know?
What information?
Oh, which schools have lifted their masks?
Or what? Oh, if there's any policy.
I thought it was Rogers and.
Rogers has lifted their
masks. Because they're clear ended.
Yeah.
Right.
But Rogers and someone else. But I also looked at the list of those who've continued their mask policies through the end of the school year. Alma, others, there's about equal number of those who continue to keep their mask policies in place as those who have lifted them. This is really trying to figure out a forward motion.
I don't know that I agree with that no one will disclose their that you'll be asked to disclose your vaccination status. I just went through that with the company that I work for, and I know we can ask that. We can choose that that's an option if you're going to attend our event. So I don't know that that's necessarily the law. I think that we need to look into that.
There is definitely a privacy issue there when you're talking about private health information or patient health information.
There is, but it also can. I mean, I've had our attorney look at it, and.
I mean, I could ask.
I think we need to ask for more information.
But do we want to have a policy that we're going to ask everyone if they've been vaccinated in those situations?
No.
I'm not sure we want to go
there. Where does that go? Do we go into HIV status and other things as well?
Sure.
Hepatitis.
Because really, it's essentially the same.
It is. Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
From a legal standpoint.
So just for a point of clarification on my end, I'm having a hard time deciphering the difference between a small group of individuals coming in and asking us to wear a mask and we'll put it on versus a parent or a student who has the same problem. So if our policy is we don't require masks, I don't think we should, it doesn't make any sense to me anyway, to ask, to have a small group be able to ask that and then we have to comply to that. So I think that we, and I'm not a doctor, but it just doesn't make any sense to me. So I think we should talk through that, but I don't, it just doesn't make sense to me.
I don't think this is a policy. I think this is more of like an
exception. Okay. Oh, I'm sorry.
I'm a bit part of here, but I didn't hear anything about drills. Okay. So I didn't hear anything about decision making. These are minors. What I heard was they can decide to wear masks or not.
No, I don't think anybody said that the kids could decide. Really, we're Oh yeah, it's, yeah. I mean, this is really. No, this is addressing really as the building when you're at an Arkansas Arts Academy campus is the school itself going to require everyone who walks in the building to wear masks or not? As far as the a parent and a kid, and if the parent wants the kid to wear that mask, I mean, that's a conversation within the family.
Okay.
I would worry that our kids who aren't eligible for vaccination yet, just how that would affect them they're supposed to follow the rules. And so if the rules are you don't have to wear a mask, but maybe they need to wear a mask, how are we going to handle all that. Maybe, Mr. Young, if I don't know if you've had a chance to talk that over with Nurse Katie or discuss the policy, but how do you see it affecting the elementary campus?
I know that some of our students that are elected to be virtual are choosing that until they can vaccinate. And I think the thing Katie is always great at, it's June. We're going to hear a lot more things about August and learn a lot. I think the great news for us is that we have Katie, and she keeps on top of the CDC guidelines. And, as long as we have her leading our decisions, and it comes to COVID 19,
I recently heard that CDC is coming out with guidelines, more guidelines in the next couple of weeks, specifically about this particular issue. So the advantage of having this conversation before all of you and through our listening community is that it sort of sets up the stage for figuring out what the final decision will look like. I'm hoping we can be maskless as a district as soon as possible so we can feel the normalcy of being back. We also have to recognize that not everybody's vaccinated, that not everybody is in the same health situation as others. And so really, if you leave it to parents to make the decision about whether or not their children should be masked or not, then we should respect that.
Nate, you had a comment?
I was just going to suggest that I was just asking Dr. Riley if she could work with Nurse Katie and Matt Young and Heather to figure out what would the best resolution be to this, to make sure that we're following whatever laws or guidelines are produced from the state and or federal CDC. So I think we all have differences of opinion on this, but I think we want to do what's right for the kids, what's right for the district, whatever the safest thing is, right? So I've just asked, and Dr. Riley has agreed to that. So if you guys could connect together and for next month's meeting, bring this back up, even if we have to have an emergency meeting, we could, but school's going to be out, right? So I feel like we should do that. If everyone's agreed to that.
It sounds kind of like a motion.
Is that a motion? Yeah, a motion.
There we go. Motion made for that.
Okay.
So is the mask mandate going to continue through our summer program then? Is that what you're saying?
We're going to wait 2 weeks.
Does that start next?
Go ahead.
Well, whenever the next meeting is, yeah, we'll just propose that.
Well, I think we can task Katie and Dr. Riley and Heather and Matt with being, with treating this as an urgent matter. So yeah. they can give it the attention that it needs so we can get back together sooner than 2 weeks, maybe over a Zoom and do something virtually to approve it.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
Motion. Second. All in favor?
Motion to table.
And for Dr. Riley and Nurse Katie to have a conversation and work through that.
One point of order. I don't think we're allowed to vote remotely anymore. I think we have to vote in person now.
That's true.
Okay.
But we have a quorum, so.
For
but
the,
we have to be
for the vote of the next
Zoom thing expired.
If we tabled this, he's saying if we tabled this, waited 4 or 5 days and did a Zoom, we wouldn't be able to do that vote over Zoom.
Unless we get our waiver approved. We could try to get our waiver approved still for Zoom.
It's only been drafted, and so it takes over 35 days for that to be approved. And we'd have to come back to the board anyway. Yeah.
Well, I'd like to make sure we do it right. If that means we get back together in person to approve it, so be it.
Yep.
So I think let's do it right. Let's treat it as an urgent matter. We task the four of you guys with that and getting back to us.
Okay.
So for those of you listening and those of you who are here, we worked with legislative offices to make an application for a waiver so that we could continue to make and have board meetings virtually that would allow for votes because we get much better attendance through virtual meetings, and because our students come from three counties, the opportunity for people who are in Madison or in Springdale to come to our board meetings is less than those of you who live close by. So it gives us an option of being able to have board meetings where we can vote virtually if necessary.
Okay, thank you. Next item we have. I'm sorry, can you say it one more time?
It also allows you to control who can be in the meeting and who can't.
How so?
There have been some meetings where it was held virtually and attendance was not opened up to the entirety of the meeting.
Victor, can you address that? Because I don't think that's exactly.
Every virtual meeting that we have held has been live streamed on YouTube.
live stream on YouTube, that doesn't mean we can attend and ask questions and address the board. I cannot, I'll only be talking to a screen, I'm not talking to the board.
All the meetings that I've been to, when they've been virtual, have had signups for speakers, and people have spoken online live.
But that's before new business, so nobody has a chance to interject into the new business discussion, like the mask mandate, right? Next month, we can tell you what we thought about your decision last month, but there's no direct feedback on a virtual meeting.
Unless we sign up in advance to be held in front of members.
And when you post the agenda Friday before a Tuesday meeting to talk about something, that doesn't give people the opportunity to sign up.
Yeah, and I believe the purpose, and I'm new to this role, so take this with a grain of salt. I'd be curious what Tony or Howard has to say. I believe the point of having public comment at the beginning is to allow for that. And then the remainder of the meeting is for us to be able to discuss these items and adjourn to an executive session if we need to. I don't believe it's the proper form to have, honestly, to do what we're doing now. I could be wrong about that, but I believe that's correct. Okay, next on, let's go to item B, which is AAA Summer Activities, again with Mr. Burrows.
So if you saw the agenda online, I just wanted to share with you that there are a number of activities over the next 7 weeks. Patrick Sallings is doing high school music theory and Latin and world music here at the high school. Crystal McWilliams is doing stained glass workshops here at the high school. Amy Kessler is doing classical dance, cultural dance, and creative dance here at the high school and at the elementary. Joy Price, our valued visual arts teacher at the elementary, is doing 2D and 3D elementary visual arts. Mark Shields, our elementary guitar teacher, is working with about 20 students over the summer. Not the whole 7 weeks. These are all sort of staggered throughout. Amy Watson and Rebecca Schuster are doing an elementary choir and theater workshop combined. And our esteemed Aaron Jones is doing museum studies for educators, so it's actually an opportunity for teachers who want to work with Aaron in arts integration and museum studies can do as well. So just wanted to share, this is a much expanded view of things that are being made available, and in a certain way, this is learning loss for kids who didn't get to come together to practice music, didn't get to come together to practice or rehearse dance, etc. It's a real in-person live experience for the summer, and through Debbie's good work, for those who come to the program, in addition to the community members, there's breakfast and lunch for all of the kids who are attending for the 7 weeks. So that's provided at no cost as well. Okay.
Any questions? Okay, that concludes the business that we had prior to our executive session. If there's nothing else for discussion, can I get a motion for us to adjourn into the executive session?
So moved.
Second.
Okay. Now, for the executive session, I believe we are going down the hall. Is that correct?
Yes.
Okay. Everyone's welcome to stay. No guarantee on how long that'll take, but you guys are welcome to stay. It depends on what the action is.
Point of order. Call a vote for
adjourning
to executive.
Oh, my fault. Okay. All in favor of adjourning to executive?
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Thanks.
Debbie's keeping us
in line. I need some hand-holding in this, so thank you very much.
My pleasure.
Take a quick break and be right back.
Anybody tired?
I'm hungry.
You didn't buy pizza?
Did anybody feed my kids?
Who brought the beer?
We weren't sure how long you were.
We just thought y'all wanted to be participating in an extra long meeting today.
For you.
Oh.
No. Okay. So we completed the executive session. Can I have a motion to adjourn tonight's meeting?
So moved.
Second.
Okay. We are adjourned. Thank you, guys. Well, we can't vote in a private session, but obviously there was a good amount of discussion. There was no vote. I said there was no vote.
There was nothing to vote on. If we had an action that came out of the executive session, we would have brought it up and voted on it.
There will be additional information that will be made available at the right time here in the next few days. I think that's an appropriate thing to say.
Okay.
So, okay. Thank you, guys. I know. Hey, let me just say, one second, guys. Off the record, or now that we're past the meeting, this is off notes. You guys showing up like this, I mean, it says a lot for